Today we're going to continue our series on stewardship. As we've been, I believe this is the 10th message in the series. Last week we started looking at stewarding our thoughts, and we're going to continue that today here. We're looking at placing a special emphasis on our service and our responsibility. Our responsibility in serving God in the sphere of influence that He has placed each one of us in. If you have your bulletin, you'll see a yellow outline booklet. I would encourage you to take that and follow along with me as I go through the message this morning. I trust it will be a help to you. And so this morning, as we consider these truths, we want to understand what is our responsibility, what is our stewardship, what is required of us as we seek to be faithful stewards of God. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required that in stewards that a man be found faithful." 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "Faithful is he that has called you who will also do it." So the reality is, as we understand the truth of God's Word, that He wants us to be a faithful steward of what He calls us to do, knowing that He is faithful to help us do what He's called us to do. That's the beauty of it. God, whatever He calls us to do, remember that He gives you the grace to do it. And so just as we start out last Sunday, I would like to draw our attentions to our own hearts once again before we begin this message. In a few moments, I'll pray. But I want to challenge us this morning is this. Are you willing to make a commitment? Are you willing to commit to doing whatever God calls you to do in this message? Are you willing to do that? Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's take our hearts before the Lord and say, "Lord, here is my heart. I want to do what You're going to call me to do. Would You help me?" So would you just go with me in prayer this morning and take your heart to the Lord and ask Him to help you. And so before we even begin the message, I'm asking you, would you be willing to commit yourself? "Lord, I will do whatever You say to me to do." Would you be willing to do that? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is our great privilege and honor that we can come before You in prayer, our great God and our great Savior. Lord, it is a blessing. It is a blessing to know You as our God. It is a blessing to know You, that You sent Your Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, to bring us to the place to show us our need of Him. And He paid the way. Lord, without Your Son, there's no hope of salvation. But with Your Son, there is great hope. There is forgiveness of sin. And we thank You so much for that. Lord, as we consider ourselves in light of who You are, may we respond in humility and worship, and may we lift ourselves up to You in prayer, our hearts to You, Lord, saying, "Lord, speak to me. I know You're going to speak to me. Would You help me to do what You're calling us to do? Would You bring change to my life? Would You change me?" And so, Lord, I ask that for myself. Lord, I need to be changed. Speak to my heart as I proclaim these words. I pray that each one of us would desire to be changed more into the image of Your Son. So please help us, Lord. Pray that You'd help us each to respond in worship as we seek to obey. Guide us now, we pray. We do ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we began looking at our thoughts, our thought process. Defeated Christian living comes from failing to steward your thoughts. The stewardship is an intentional process. It takes effort and repetition. It takes replacement of the old sinful thoughts with new godly thoughts. It's a challenge. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." As we think in our heart, the heart is the core of who we are. As we think in our heart, whatever our mindset is, whatever we repeatedly go over in our minds, that really is who we are. That's what the Bible says. The Bible also says in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says these words, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Jesus goes on to say, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. He goes on to say, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So ultimately, that heart, where we're thinking, that's not your beating organ heart. That's really, it speaks more of your mindset. Whatever's thinking, whatever's going on inside your mind, if it's good, good's going to come out. If it's evil, evil's going to come out. If it's worrisome, it's going to worrisome's going to come out. If anxiety is going on there, anxiety's coming out. If anger's in there, anger's coming out. From out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Keep in mind, sinful thinking leads to sinful living, while godly thinking leads to godly living. In order to live right, we must intentionally think right. Keep that in mind. And so, last week we began by starting out looking at pursuing this understanding of the way down, the thoughts that lead to defeat. We need to understand what thoughts lead to defeat in order to make the necessary changes that lead to victory. The way down is the way of defeat. It's the way that we're prone to go. It's the way that leads away from God. By way of background, we just looked into briefly the book of Joshua and the conquest into the promised land. And we see how the book of Joshua is a picture of victory in the Christian life. The promised land where they were seeking to conquer was the land of victory. Spiritually speaking, it is symbolic of our, in our Christian lives, that's the land of promise, is the land of victory. But on the west, or on the east side of Jordan, before they crossed over the Jordan to get into the promised land, that side was the way of defeat. It was the land of unbelief. Remember, they had originally come to the Jordan River soon after they had come out of Egypt. And because of unbelief, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years because of unbelief. Wandering around is symbolic of defeat. How often are we doing that? How many of us are wandering around in the wilderness because of our unbelief in who God is, our unbelief in what God says? And that's what we're going to address today as we go through this process. We're going to understand, I pray, that the way down is the way of unbelief. It's the way of defeat. What do you believe to be true about God? Now, we also looked at Joshua chapter 6 tells us a story of God's account of the Battle of Jericho, this fortress that was the wall. It had two walls about 25 feet high, and in total it was about 20 feet thick. This was a massive structure. It was a fortress, the biggest fortress, the biggest structure in the Promised Land. And without defeating Jericho, they would not have victory. Well, again, that gives us a picture into our Christian lives. There's fortresses of sin in our lives that until we have victory over them, until we demolish those areas, we will not have victory in our lives. And so we looked at that last week. The stronghold of sin is encouraged by and solidified by the way we think. We erect four Jerichos in our lives that are based upon what we think about. Based upon what we think about. Negative thought process, sinful thought processes. It erects the Jerichos. So what you think about determines your attitudes and actions. From out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so here we are. The longer you think a certain way, the harder it is to think differently. And what we quickly went through, and just to remind you, these thought processes that we get into, these ruts of thinking, these fortresses of thought, you can either look at the way you think as a fortress sticking out of the ground, all right, that is, it's hard to break it down. The other way, often in counseling I use this, is a rut. You walk down a path and you dig a rut. The more you travel on it, the more you wear it down. And it gets deeper and deeper and deeper to the point where you easily fall into that rut. You easily fall into that rut of thinking. And in order to have victory over that, that has to be paved over. That has to be brought to the place where you don't easily fall into it. Well, the reality is you are either in a rut of thinking or you have a fortress of thought. Either way, they got to both be destroyed. We need to get into the proper kind of rut of thinking, which is godly thought process. And that's a challenge for us. And so some of the ruts of thinking, some of the fortresses of thought, are thoughts of anxiety and of fear, thoughts of discouragement and despair, thoughts of anger and frustration, thoughts of bitterness and hatred, thoughts of guilt and shame. These are Jerichos that lay before us in our Christian lives. And if we don't deal with them, they keep us from having victory in our spiritual lives. So, that's the way down. The way up are thoughts that lead to victory. In order for each of us to confront these Jerichos of thought, we must learn to fight this battle God's way. Remember the battle, how God told Joshua to fight the battle of Jericho? Walk around it once a day for 6 days, then to come back and walk around it 7 times in one day, and then blow your trumpets, the walls are going to come down, you guys go in and take the city. What? Well, in a great way, the way we deal with our negative thought process, the way we deal with the Jerichos in our lives, really, in a great way, is no different. It goes against what psychology tells us. It goes against the normal thought process. The way the world deals with problems is to blame shift and not take any accountability. God's saying, you deal with it, you obey me, you come my way, you handle it my way, you'll have victory. The world has no victory to give you when it comes to dealing with your thought process. They don't. They don't. And so, this is the way up, the way that leads to victory. God desires that we rest in His stabilizing truth in order to have victory in our lives. We're assured of victory when we live by faith, resting in God's truth. Remember when God talked to Joshua in Joshua chapter 6, verse 2? He says, you have already won. The battle is yours. Victory is complete. And so we need to understand that victory is there for us, waiting for us. We need to go and enjoy that victory. We need to obey. God's saying, I've won. Now just it's a reality, but it's not a reality for you yet until you obey. You take those steps of faith and follow what I say. Victory's yours. So how can you have victory over the Jerichos in your life? The answer is stewarding your thoughts. And so last week we looked at, we need to, letter A, renew your mind with God's stabilizing truths. And we saw that in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As Christians, we must be instruments of change, seeing our own need to ever be transformed into the image of Christ. As we change and reflect Christ, we can then be an instrument of change, helping others to be transformed into that same image of Christ. Why do I say that? Because that's vital. In order for me to be a blessing, a greater blessing to other people, I got to get my thinker going right. If I'm not thinking right, I'm not going to be living right. If I'm not going to be living right, I'm not going to be affecting people in a godly way. I'm going to be affecting people in a sinful way. I want to be a blessing. But when I'm riddled with anxiety and anger and depression and challenging thoughts, I'm not a blessing to other people like I should, like God wants me to be. And God wants me to have victory. He wants to help me. He wants to make me that instrument of change that can be a tremendous blessing on everyone that I come into contact with, whether they see it or not. All right? Because there's sometimes you're going to give godly biblical advice to someone and they get mad at you. We come at them in a gracious, loving spirit and trust the Lord to have His way in their hearts. So we renew your mind with God's stabilizing truth. And how do we do this? We need to understand the thinking of this world. Well, it says, be not conformed to this world. So there's a command. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be forced into the mindset of this world. Our mindset should not be a non-conformist mindset to this present age. We should have a non-conformist mindset. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be forced into the mold of this world. He says, don't continue to be conformed. Refuse to be conformed. This is called to a life of separation. A holy life that is set apart from sin and separated unto God. The world, this word world, speaks of the system of beliefs and values at any current time in the world, which the devil uses to blind the hearts of the unbeliever. The world is the contemporary moral atmosphere and philosophy that is ruled by the God of this world and dominates the culture in which we live. This world system is an anti-God culture and opposes God's glory. And so God is saying, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, commanding us, don't be like the world, because the world hates me. This culture, this is an anti-God culture. It opposes my glory. Don't be like it. Then he said, but how? We see the thinking of the world is anti-God. What about the thinking of the Word, God's Word? Well, it's a kind of transformed thinking. But be ye transformed. This word transformed comes from the Greek word metamorpho. It's where we get our word metamorphosis from. That going from a caterpillar to a butterfly, it's just night and day difference. Keep that in mind. Your mindset from the world is a total opposite of what the world shows. It goes from being anti-God to all out for God. It goes from opposing God's glory to pursuing God's glory. That's two different things. In Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's being transformed in Christ. It's a process of daily surrender. It's a daily process of change. Being transformed is to be completely changed into something different than what you are. See, the reality is, I need to be changed. I need to be changed. I'm not where I need to be. I'm not Christ-like enough yet. You need to be changed. We all need to be changed more into the image of Christ Jesus. And the way we're changed is by the way we think. None of us have arrived. None of us have graduated the school of grace. None of us are there. We all need God's help. We all need to be changed. So how can we then live a transformed life? A transformed life of worship when the world in which we live is dominated by sin? Well, let her be there. This is where we ended. That was all review. So we're going to run through this next part. I get your running shoes on. We're going. We're going to try to really see how God's going to teach us here. But let her be. The way that we are transformed is with this renewed thinking. Letter B, renewed thinking. By the renewing of your mind, this word renewing speaks of a renovation. The word renewing speaks of a renovation in the sense of a reversal from the old mind to a new mind. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. A commentator writes these words. He says, there must be a radical change in the inner man for one to live rightly in this evil age by the renewing of your mind. The new birth, the new mind, the new man. There's a new birth. We're birthed in Christ. We're a new creature in Christ. That's where we're born again. A new mind. We live as a new man. That's what we're called to. The way of renewing is the way of replacing. Bear that in mind. This renewal process is a replacement process. The old mind needs to be replaced with a new mind. The old thoughts must be replaced with new thoughts. Our thoughts of lust must be replaced with love for God and others. Our thoughts of envy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, selfishness, pride, the list goes on. And they must be replaced with Christ-honoring thoughts as well as thoughts of God Himself. So, when we consider the renewal process, the replacement process, let's do an exercise real quick here. I don't want you to think of pink elephants. Don't think of pink elephants. Don't think of pink elephants. Stop thinking about pink elephants. What are you thinking about? Pink elephants. Why are you thinking about pink elephants? Because I'm constantly reminding you what you shouldn't be doing. And we're good at disobeying. We're good at disobeying ourselves. Because when we are reminding ourselves, stop being anxious, stop being angry, stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing this, what are we doing? We're simply reminding ourselves of what we shouldn't be doing. And let me tell you this, if any of you were thinking of blue elephants or anything other than what I was telling you to, it's because you intentionally forcefully made yourself not think about what I was telling you to think about. You were intentionally geared in a different direction than what I was saying. You get it? The renewal process is a replacement process. If you're constantly being barraged with this mentality, this worldly mentality, it's keep coming at you, it comes at you, comes at you, comes at you. The only way to not fall prey to it is to intentionally replace those thoughts with godly thoughts. The whole stream, the stream, you're in a boat, you're in a rowboat. Well, the barrage of worldliness is going with the stream, with the current, right? The only way to go against the current is to row against it. It's intentional. There's effort involved. We need to understand it. So the renewal process is a replacement process. See, we do the same thing. We intentionally confront the Jerichos God's way. When we do that, we confront those Jerichos, those thoughts of worry, anxiety, fear, anger, and the list goes on. We intentionally confront those God's way. When we do that, they will remain a stronghold. Because if the world's encouraging you to build up Jericho and encouraging you to dig that deeper rut, that's just like the current. It's just going and going and going. We have to be intentional in opposition to it. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Abundantly. What does that mean? Get into the word. Let the word be filling your mind as opposed to the world. Colossians 3:10 says, "And you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." How is the old man renewed? It's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This speaks of the deepening of the image of God in the new man through the increased knowledge of God, knowing God more. This deepening image is an increased resemblance of Christ in the new man. The only way that our lives can portray proper godly worship is a change of mindset, a transformed mind, a renewed mind. Too often the Christian still allows themselves to be influenced by the world, the philosophies and values of this fallen world, and too often we welcome this influence. We turn on the radio and we allow the worldliness to just blare, just subliminally, however you say that, keeps coming at us. And we wonder why I can't get that. You think of that new catchy ditty that comes on the radio. You hear it once and you're stuck, right? You hear it a number of times and it's almost impossible to get that stupid song out of my head, please. And all it takes is someone just come by and just hum it, really just irritate you. Here it is again. And I have to intentionally get myself away from that. I have to intentionally sing Amazing Grace or Jesus Loves Me or something else to get that song out of my head, right? Well, that's the process. That's the renewal process. The process of renewing your mind takes time and effort. There's a cost involved. We need to understand that. The idea of the word renew, again, is that of renovation. The mind is renewed by spending time in God's Word. Think of Moses as he spent 40 days and nights with God. When he did that, it was quite obvious. Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai," that was after he had spent 40 days with God, "he came down with the two tablets of testimony in his hand. And when he came down from the mount, Moses wist not," he did not know, "that his skin on his face shone while he talked with them." It shone. He glowed. Moses was glowing. He spent time with God. Are you ever glowing? After you spend time with God, do you walk out And are you glowing? Are you so excited about what God just taught you? Are you excited? There's these precious truths that God has just laid on my heart. Wow, there is victory. There is escape. There is a way to get beyond the trial that I'm in. There is hope. There's confidence in who my God is. And I want to tell somebody about it. And now you come out and you're glowing because you want to share it with somebody else. You know what's really sad? Instead of glowing, we often are Christians walking around puckered up like we're sucking out a bunch of sour grapes. We're not glowing. Instead of glowing and rejoicing, the joy of the Lord is evident in our lives versus, oh, can you believe? You believe the political situation we're in? I'm going to Canada. Who wants what you have? I've often asked this. If people are around you, do they want your kind of Christianity? Think about it. Does somebody want the kind of Christianity that you have? Are you excited about it? Are you passionate about your God? Or is life just a waste of time and you're always getting the raw end of the deal? Do people want your kind of Christianity? Think about it. It takes time in God's Word to maintain a transformed life. There is a great cost involved. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to take the time away from something else in order to worship God with it? Are you willing to take time away from something else that you love because you love God more? And I'm willing to spend time with God at a sacrifice to these other things. See, the reality is when we learn to love God more, it's not going to seem such a sacrifice to stop from spending time with those other things that are of the world. See how that works? See, that's devoting your God. That's a supreme, growing in your supreme love for God. I love Him most. And everything else is secondary. And He helps me to put in priority those other things. And He's going to help me to understand there's some things I shouldn't even be dealing with. I shouldn't even be reading some of those books. I shouldn't even be listening to some of that music. I shouldn't even be watching some of those movies. I shouldn't even be hanging out with those certain groups of people because they're having a greater influence on me than God is. I'm showing greater love for the world instead of a greater love for my God. And so God, as we grow in our love for Him, He's going to separate us. He's going to bring us to the place where we don't enjoy these other things. We don't want to be around some of these things. Because I love Him most. And then those times where I do need to be in the world, I can be glowing in the world. Because what's happened? My mind is fixed upon my God, and I have this great love for my God, and I don't want to do anything to displease Him. I just want to pursue holiness. I want to love Him, and I want to pursue just being a blessing to others and displaying Christ-likeness. The love of Christ, the grace, and gracious godliness. Second Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That verse, it speaks of this, when we with an unobstructed view, that mirror, that glass, beholding that glass, beholding as in a glass, as we gaze, that holy gaze upon the glasses, the Word of God, we see that the glory of God through the Word of God, right? We spend time looking at the glory of God. The Shekinah glory of God was this light that was so bright and so vibrant. See, the beauty of this is that as we gaze upon this glory of God through the Word of God, how are we gazing upon the glory of God through the Word of God? When we look at the Word of God and we read what the Bible says and we're reading and it's saying, God is great and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Yeah, there's the glory of God. There's the glory of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever would believe in Him will not perish but everlasting life. Oh, there's glory of God. The amazing love of God. And you keep going down the list. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And you keep going down the list and you're just focused in. You're meditating upon the glory of God. The Shekinah glory of God. You are just in there, zoned in, meditating. And it's that the white light of God's Word is just casting over your soul. And you're starting to glow. Because you're excited. This is my God. This is who He is. I love Him. He loved me first. I love Him. Look at what He did for me. Look at who He is. How great is my God. Let me tell you about Him. Oh, you're going through a difficult time? I know I was too. And I still am. But you know, my God's greater than my trial. My God is greater than who I am. And He loves me. He loves me. I got to share with you. You come alongside someone, you love them through their trials, directing them to the Word of God so they can behold the glory of God through the Word of God and they can be changed more into the image of God's Son. See how it works? What's going on when I'm beholding the glory of God? My mind is being renewed with the stabilizing truths of God's Word. Consider the process of being tanned by the sun. I know we're in fall, but you think back to just when you spend time in the sun, changes you, doesn't it? Most of you in here, you probably turn a little bit brownish in color. All right? I turn into a lobster. All right? It's obvious when I've been in the sun. And it's obvious when you have been in the sun for a lengthy period of time, is it not? What happens when you stop being in the sun for the same amount of time that it took to turn you darker? What happens? What fades? It fades away. Your suntan fades. See, when we spend a lot of time in the light of the Son of God, we are changed and we start to glow. In the dark. But when you get away from that light for a period of time, your glow begins to loosen, to weaken, and it goes away. I've told it before, but there's a couple of my kids, they got a glow in the dark shirt, and they decided to wear it to bed one night, and they saw that it was glowing. And in the morning, they woke up, and it wasn't glowing anymore. It's like, what's going on? And they realized, it was pretty fascinating, they realized the fact that when it's not being energized by the light, it loses its glow. See, when you're not being energized by the light of the Son of God, you'll lose your glow. Your mind needs to be renewed by the light of God's truth. And the more it's renewed, the more it's energized, the more you will glow in this world. And it will be obvious. People won't have to ask you. They might come up and say, what gives? What do you got a smile on your face for? Life's horrible. No, life is good. Life is good. The renewal process, the same process found in Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24, says these words. That ye putting off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What we see there is that we must seek to put off the old man of sin. Renew our minds with the truth of God and His Word and put on Christ, seeking to live out the characteristics of Christ. This is biblical change. This is the attitude of transformation. That right there, that is the what's my next step questions. Putting off of sin, renewing your mind, putting on Christ. The what's my next step questions that I challenge you to answer based upon the message that you hear today are these questions. Lord, what am I supposed to put off? Lord, what about you do I need to renew my mind with? What about you do I need to be putting on? What Christ-like qualities do I need to be putting on here, Lord? Help me to understand. Help me, Lord. Help me, change me. So we see here that we are renewed. We renew our mind with the stabilizing truths of God's Word. We go from the thinking of this world, we see the thinking of the Word. Replacement. All right, we see the transformed thinking. Our mindset has to be transformed. We see that we need to have this renewed thinking. So we move from this renewing our mind to having a renewed living. See, there is change that is seen. Consider what it says at the end of verse 12 of Romans chapter 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." All right, we've gone through that. "That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." See, there's a purpose. See, there's a purpose. This is the purpose. "That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is the purpose for renewed thinking. This word "prove" carries the idea of proving whether something is worthy or not. So is the will of God worthy or not? See, as you have your mind transformed, renewed by the truth of God's Word, you then prove in your life that the will of God is worth following. Make sense? We struggle with the will of God, don't we, sometimes? When God's will doesn't line up with my will, I don't know about this, Lord. Right? What's the problem? Based upon this verse, what's the problem when we have a problem with the will of God? What's the problem? Is it God or is it me? Okay, it's me. All right, we get that. That's kind of obvious, isn't it? Where's the problem? The problem is right here. The problem is how I'm thinking. The problem is that I'm reverting back to the land of unbelief. I'm reverting back to the land of defeat. I'm thinking in the way of the world, which is anti-God and goes against the glory of God. But as I renew my mind with the truth of God's Word, I will grow more and more in love with God's will and doing God's will. Do you see how that works? Mindset change, being changed by the truth of God's Word, will transform you to the degree that you will be a living proof of the will of God. It's worth it. The more we are changed into Christ-likeness through the renewal of our mind, the less we are conformed to this world's philosophies and values, the more we will be unable to understand God's will for our lives. You hear that often. What's God's will for my life? Usually when someone says that, if they're saying it from a perspective of what's God's will for my whole life, I see a challenge. We're not in the Word like we should. Why? Because the reality is God shows you what His will is. There's so many aspects of His will that He's showing us. And if we're faithful with those specific aspects of His will, He's going to lead us step by step. And we really don't have to be concerned about what God's will is for my whole life. I can just be understanding and obedient to what His will is for that step. And that step. And that step. See, the reality is I, by faith, need to walk. By faith, I need to pursue God's will. I don't need to know what's coming tomorrow. I'm not promised tomorrow. God doesn't tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. Does He? There's some aspects of tomorrow that are told. Prophecy. But still, I don't know when exactly that's going to happen. But the reality is I'm called to walk step by step in faith, obedient to what I already know God's will is for me. There's plenty of God's will that we already know, isn't there? throughout Scripture. I mean, look at what we're looking at. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed. That's God's will. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you being faithful? Are you being obedient with this portion of God's will right here? Because if you're not, you're not going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're not going to be a living proof of God's will. See, what follows a renewal of the mind is a renewal of the life. A renewed mindset leads to a renewed lifestyle. Until we begin the process of surrendering ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit and renewing our mind, we will fall short of understanding and living out God's good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Surrender. Oh, we don't like that word, do we? Wait, you mean to tell me that my will is not most important and I don't get what I want? Does what you want, does it line up with God's will? You may get what you want, but it may not be God's will. You're not going to be happy with it. You're not going to be blessed by it. The reality is, we need to surrender. We need to surrender. The transformation of the mind is crucial to living a Christ-honoring, godly life. A renovation process is that of throwing out the old, decaying, destructive thoughts and replacing them with the new, Christ-honoring ones, which bring great blessing to others and they bring glory to God. The process of our sanctification is that of replacing our old mindset with the mind of Christ. This is done only through daily saturation and meditation of the Word of God while asking the Lord to help us in this process. Prayerful concern. Lord, help me. I need you. It's dependency. It's dependency. It's dependency. Surrender. Are you surrendering? Are you surrendering? We're going to close there for today. We here see the renewal of our mind that leads to the renewal of our living. When we come back next Sunday, we're going to look at the intentional process that we go about in the renovation process. We are called to be intentional. We just renovated the parsonage. I'm still in the process of it. But at the very beginning of it, I had to destroy a lot of things. There was a lot of destruction before there was construction. What you'll notice in the remainder of this message, as we go to 2 Corinthians 10:5, there's a demolition process that we deal with in our renovation process. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity everything, every thought to the obedience of Christ. But then we also see that there's a rebuilding process. And we need to remember the commands of God. Demolition. We need to remember the promises of God. We need to remember many things. Intentional process. Come back next week and let's see what God says as we consider His truths, as we look at how to steward our thoughts. Don't be conformed to this world. You've got to replace the worldly thinking with godly thinking, right? It's an intentional process. You be diligent in the Word of God. Because if you just remove the old and don't replace it with the new godliness, you're going to replace it with more of the old. You're going to replace it with just what you moved out of there. I want to challenge you. Obviously, we're not going to look at stewarding our trials next Sunday. I want to challenge you. Take this, the remainder of this outline, and go through it. Read those verses. Prepare. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the prophets. Get into it. Meditate upon these things. take that "What's My Next Step" questionnaire and go through it. I challenge you tomorrow morning in your devotions, or maybe tonight before you go to bed, whatever the case is, answer those questions. What sin did God draw to my attention today? Yeah, you don't really talk about much sin. Well, yeah, we did. Are you battling angry thoughts, anxious thoughts, worrisome, discouragement, these different thought processes that you're stuck in and you keep going back to? Maybe you need to take those before God and confess those as sin. Put those off. Are you not being faithful in seeking to renew your mind with the truth of God's Word? There's a sin. Lord, forgive me. I'm not being diligent in the Word. Would you help me? Then you continue on. Now I need to renew my mind with the truth of God's Word. What is God like? What does He like? What does He not like? What are some passages that I need to meditate upon? And I dig into it and I memorize verses. What are the commands of God? What are the promises of God? What are the principles that God stated in these passages we just looked at today? Get into it. Intentionally put your mind into gear, replacing the old with the new. God's truth. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. Help us, O Lord, as we consider these truths. They're challenging truths to us. They hit us right where we think. They hit us right in the core of who we are. O Lord, would you move us? Would you change us? Would you transform us? Would you help us? We know that you call us to steward our thoughts. And so, Lord, we know that you give us the grace to do what you call us to do. You're there with us. You help us to do whatever you call us to do. So, Lord, please help. Please help us to be dependent upon you. Go before us now, we pray. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.